Frank, first of all, delighted you could join us, and you're very welcome to the GAA programme. And, well, you surprised us yesterday morning by some news. You're finally hanging up the boots.
Yeah, I suppose you could say finally. I suppose the stories have gone about this past couple of years, yeah, but look, it wasn't an easy decision to come to, I suppose. Yeah. It's been a massive part of my life this past 14 seasons here, since 2006, and it's never easy to step away from something that's played such a big part in your life, you know, and step away from the players and the characters and the friends that you've made over the years. But I do think, you know, from a personal perspective, and I suppose even from a playing perspective, after thinking about it, I think it's the right time for myself to.
And what was it? Was it Father Time that decided for you? Or, you know, we saw you last year. You got hit with injuries, and you were coming on as a sub and doing a very valuable job at times. And I know Declan Bonner appreciated, you know, having you to come in there to calm things down, the quiet influence.
Yeah, I suppose when you look back to a couple of seasons ago, you know, with a disappointing end of one of the years against Galway there, you know, and I suppose I thought long and hard about it that time about retiring as well. I felt probably I wasn't doing enough on the pitch, and I didn't know whether it was worth all the commitment, but I was absolutely delighted, you know, when Declan did take over, that it threw me, I suppose, hat into the ring again and went at it for those 2 years, because, you know, we went on to win two Ulster titles, and I suppose probably would have been disappointed with the All-Ireland campaigns. And those 2 years, you know, was absolutely blessed to have gotten an extra 2 years out of it, you know. And as you said yourself, I suppose the role was probably diminishing, and I suppose most of that was mainly down to my body. And I suppose the body, there was a few signs there that was kind of telling me more so than anything, you know, with niggly injuries every so often and not getting a run of training. And I suppose it's been something that I wouldn't have been used to throughout my career. I've always been fit to train and been fit to train regularly. So I suppose it was one of the factors in it, you know. And I suppose the fact when you go out every year, you just hope that you're given a clean bill of health and a clean run at it. And I suppose I hadn't been getting that this past couple of years, and it's difficult then when it comes to big championship matches and you're missing out on it, or you're not fit enough to play your full part, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned there you won two Ulsters in the last couple of years and maybe missed out on going any further, maybe disappointment in the Super 8s, but overall, it's been a good career. What, 5 Ulster Championships and All-Ireland and an All-Star, nominated for Footballer of the Year, defeated in another All-Ireland?
Yeah, I suppose, look, when you look back, you know.
And we can throw in a National League as well.
Yeah, when you look back at the record, you know, there's a lot of titles there, so there is. And, you know, there's been a lot of great victories. And I suppose the beginning of the inter-county career was probably seen as maybe lean years, you know, with good league successes. Even the first year, 2006, we got a Division 2 title, league title, and 2007, a Division 1 league title. And I suppose those, at that time, those were big days for the Donegal players as well, because we wouldn't have that much experience of Croke Park for that group, you know. And we probably just didn't push on into championship. We were unlucky in a number of championships around that time. You know, we lost a quarter final, I think, in 2006 to Cork, and there was only a matter of a kick of the ball between the two teams. And of course, from then to 2010, they were probably lean enough years. But while they were lean enough years, you know, you still felt that you were given a huge commitment to the jersey and a huge commitment to the cause. You know, probably results probably didn't reflect the players' commitment and the work that was being put in. But I suppose then from 2011 on, when Jim McGuinness came in, things kind of went on a upward trajectory. And I suppose you in my wildest dreams, I couldn't have imagined in 2006, 2007 that we're going to end up competing at Ulster level and All-Ireland level at that time.
Yeah. Who, Brian McIver brought you into the squad, was it?
He did, yeah. 2006, yeah. He gave me a chance in the McKenna Cup game over in Ballyshannon. I think it was against Jordanstown, one of the college teams. And I done quite well. I was still involved with under 21 team at that stage. It was about in around the 19-year-old mark. You know, so got onto the panel that year and probably didn't feature championship-wise in 2006, and kind of got a couple of glimpses in 2007 then of championship football from then on.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, as you mentioned, obviously Jim McGuinness came in then, and the whole thing changed, really, didn't it?
Yeah, I suppose he probably changed the approach to it, and I suppose the players, I suppose, bought into the way things were going to be done and the changes that were going to be made. And I suppose he had that great group of under-21 players coming with them from the 2010 season that had just gone before it, and those things just seemed to snowball in from good and things. 2011, you know, was a great year, like for first year, you know, breaking into the Ulster category and winning that Ulster title, you know.
Yeah, because I know from back then you hadn't won an Ulster Championship game in quite a few years up to that.
Yeah, that's what we'd been to, a good few years where we'd first round knockouts, and you know, we'd lost to Antrim in a championship match in McCool Park, you know, and things like that. So it really was a turnaround. So it was, and I suppose at that time too, Tyrone were the dominating team, you know, and they were heading for three in a row in that year. And while we probably rode our luck a little bit in that semi-final in 2011, you know, that was a huge victory to get over Tyrone and push on then for our first Ulster success.
Yeah, and give the Dubs a run then in the semi-final, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, with that epic game against Kildare in the quarter-final.
Infamous game.
Yeah, that went to extra time, you know. And I suppose things they got at that time, I was probably, Deanne just had her first child, you know, so all those things are marked with kind of milestones in our own personal lives, you know, and it's just great to have those memories to look back on. And I was going into that Dublin game, is probably the game that's remembered for the low scoring and the 4-2 scoreline at half time, and the puns about the 14 behind the ball, you know. But at that time, I suppose we were fully focused on winning the game, and but for a few mistakes that cost us, maybe a few decisions that probably didn't go our way, you know, it was very fine margins from defeating the All Ireland champions that they went on to capture the title that year.
Yeah. Then obviously the success came in 2012, and you know, obviously that's the high, is it, 2012?
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to point to, you know, definitely from capturing the All Ireland, there's some great memories from that time. So there is, and I suppose the whole way through the year, like we, you know, we learned from 2011, and you know, we didn't rest on the success that we got in 2011. We weren't really happy with it, so we did push on again in 2012, and you know, we had a great run in Ulster and bounced into Croke Park, and you know, and we came through, I suppose, the toughest possible route, you know, with Cork and, you know, Kerry in the quarter final and then Cork in the semi final, you know, and they were, you know, massive games for us, you know, and it was a great learning curve from the year before, like, and you know, and just thankfully we came out in the right end of those results, you know, and those All Ireland final day, I suppose. While you have great memories from it, you remember more so of the events off the pitch and of the actual game itself, you know. Can you be that nervous and that focused on your jobs and different things during the game? You don't actually enjoy it at the time, but you know, it's great to have the memories, you know, that go along with it.
What are those events off the field that you remember from that day?
Just small things, like, you know, people maybe that had never been to Croke Park before, and you know, getting to go to an All Ireland final, and you know, seeing Donegal lift the cup and things, you know. And you know, my own personal point of view, I suppose, my granny went to an All Ireland final in Croke Park, and I suppose she probably never thought she would get up there, you know, to watch a game. And it was great.
Who's that?
My granny Martin and Glenn Finn.
She got up. Well, a good sporting woman.
Good sporting woman, yeah. She would always listen to the games on the radio, but she ventured up to Croke Park, so she did for both finals. So it was great to look back in those memories, and look back in the memories of taking the cup back on the Thursday to the Glen Finn clubhouse, you know. And
what was that like?
That was very special, so it was, you know, it was something you were kind of looking forward to from the minute that you won the Sam Maguire, you know, because I suppose as a young boy, been taken out of school to do his national school and heading up to the village of Bracca to see the 92 champions coming back with the Sam Maguire, I suppose it was a massive day for me to think that I was another end of it and bringing the Sam Maguire to, you know, to the school children and to the people of the area. So definitely was emotional times and times that I don't think I'll ever forget.
Mm. Some people say winning in All-Ireland can be a life-changer.
It can be. It was, I suppose, for those couple of months afterwards. You know, you probably did feel a bit different, but, you know, when you're continuing on to play football, you know, football will soon bring you back down to earth, though it will. And I suppose there was a couple of club games afterwards that you're reminded pretty quickly that you were still only a Glen Finn player when you come up against opposition players. And indeed, you're reminded of it too when you went back into the Glen Finn club dressing room to train with the club as well, you know.
You became a household name, recognising the matter. You could go nowhere, I'm sure, in the country, but you were recognised.
You know, it was nice for those times, and it brought on that extra bit of responsibility, I suppose, so it did for the players, you know. But it was one thing, you know, that the Donegal players, I thought, done very well. You know, every one of us probably, you know, carried that mantle very well and represented the county very well, both on and off the pitch.
And then, of course, the All-Star. How high up is that in your
Yeah, I suppose personally, you know, even when you sit down now, I suppose my children were probably young at the time, 2012, only two of them were born, but we sat down last Friday night even to watch the All-Star Awards, and, you know, it was funny trying to explain to them that I was up there once getting an award, and they'd nearly ask you what for, so they would. yeah. But it's nice to have them, you know, have those awards to look back on. I suppose at the time, I suppose you're just engrossed in being part of a team, and you don't really be aiming to achieve personal awards. But I suppose it's nice when you get to the end of your career to look back on. Mm.
And I suppose the game has got so intense, you can't maybe enjoy it to the same extent that you would like to, or maybe you would have when you came into the squad first in recent years.
Yeah, well, I suppose the commitment levels probably have changed, but, you know, as I say, probably in 2006, you know, when I was in the Donegal panel, I never actually sat back and said, you know, we weren't given enough commitment. You know, in any given year, you know, I could never have faulted the commitment that the players were given. Certain years you were asked to do other things, but if you were asked to do something that was going to boost your chances of winning Ulster or boost your chances of winning the All-Ireland, you know, mm-hmm. you were going to do it, and every manager had a different approach to that. But I suppose things have changed, I suppose, drastically from 2006 and 2010, even from what they are nowadays. But I still think there's still that bit of enjoyment still important there, so it is. And even this year, you know, the small successes or the league title this year in Division 2, even, you know, they have to be celebrated to boost that team morale. And it's important that, you know, the enjoyment side of things off the pitch is still important, as well as the commitment on it.
Tell me, going back to 2011 or 2010 or whenever Jim McGuinness took over, and I know, speaking to Rory Kavanagh, you know, when he retired, and he was saying, you know, that it took him a while to take on board, you know, Jim's enthusiasm, and maybe not his enthusiasm, but, you know, his confidence and his belief and what he told you, that you win in Ulster, win in All-Ireland, you know. You probably weren't in the same category as Rory, as you probably wouldn't have known Jim as well. What did you think of that meeting?
I suppose the first meeting, I suppose, when you put it in context, it was probably maybe in an October time, you know, roughly time, you know, and I suppose you're just after finishing 1 year, and that year finished early for us with a heavy defeat in Cross McGlen.
Yeah.
You know, that year, and I suppose when someone's telling you that they're going to turn around and win Ulster, you know, the following year, and it's only October time, and they're laying out the plans of what pre-season and what training's going to be done. It's a difficult time of the year, you know, regardless, to get your head around what's going to happen come May and June. But I suppose he put it in such a way that it was that forceful, and he got it across to us that he fully believed in it, that it was probably, in a way, while you were doubting it in your own head, it was hard not to be swept along and get into that way of thinking. And that's one thing that, I suppose, the training methods that we were doing at that time as well, it probably brought that even more into focus then, because probably we're training harder than ever, and I suppose we probably realised that if we're going to do this training and give the commitment, that maybe the rewards will come that bit easier.
Mm. You were a pretty naturally fit guy anyway, weren't you?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that, but in fairness, it wouldn't take me too long to get the fitness every year. Now, probably would have wintered well, as they would say, in the off season. But it wouldn't have taken too long to get back into the swing of things then, when we got back to the pitch sessions. But I suppose over the years then you kind of got used to the way of going, and probably got used to your own body and knowing what times to really focus on the diet and the fitness and the gym work, and, you know, how to time that to be at your best for the peak times of the year, as I say.
And tell me, 2014 then, obviously that was a disappointment, wasn't it? Getting to the final, you know, and obviously 2013 probably was a disappointment in the fact that you lost in Ulster, but 2014 you recovered and went to the All-Ireland, and, you know, but the grace of God and the width of a post, you could have won it.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. And I suppose even looking back in 2013, after winning in 2012 and being on such a hype, and again in 2013, looking back now, I suppose we probably weren't at the level required, but at the time, during the year, you thought, you know, you were in the same mindset as what we were in 2012, when we probably unannounced us, we probably weren't pushing ourselves that extra 15-20% that we had been the previous year, maybe, and I suppose that was probably shown in the results towards the end of the year. And then 2014, I suppose, we got back into training earlier that year, and, you know, got a good bit of work done pre-Christmas and after Christmas, you know, there were some heavy sessions there, and it probably stood us for the remainder of the year. But you know, closer to the championship time then. Even I remember the Armagh game 2014 in All-Ireland quarter final. Like, we were pushed to the pin of our collar that day in Croke Park, and we had to come up with a couple of late scores just to get past Armagh. And I suppose what the shock of the defeat to Dublin, I suppose some people maybe looked past that game against Armagh, you know, and you know it was a real tough game for us that day as well to come through that quarter final. And then the shock, as they would call it, you know, but I suppose we fully believed, you know, going up into Croke Park in 2014 that we were capable and we were going to get a victory against them. I suppose the one regret is then, I suppose we probably played our game like so often, like we probably played our game in the semi final and didn't get up to the same levels in the final, and Kerry were good enough on the day to get the better of us then.
In 2012, we're just going back there for a minute. Obviously, you know, Donegal had chipped a fair bit of criticism for this blanket defence, all-out defence. They went more offensive, obviously, in 2012. And you were a central plank to that. You know, yourself and Mark McHugh and Anthony Thompson, you had the pace that you were at in the offensive side to it. You were there picking the breaks, and you got in quite a lot of scores in those years.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. We probably did learn from 2011 that in order to win games, you know, we had the defensive side of things probably well sussed in 2011, but we probably realised we had to get more scores. And I suppose we still made a pact that we weren't going to go away too far from our principles, and I suppose we still defended very well. The defensive side of things probably didn't change, but we probably were given, even defenders were probably more onus were put on the defenders in the half-back line, especially to get forward and to chip in with a few scores, as we were probably, you were asking the half-forwards and some corner-forwards to come back in and help out defensively. So it was probably a bit of give and take that we were getting extra support in defence, and we were probably adding that little bit to the attacking side of things, which probably boosted the scoring average of us and probably helped a little bit in securing the All-Ireland.
Talk to me about games. Any particular games stand out for you, you know, as the memory, a memory of those times, or any particular win? Or
I would always look back on maybe the close rivalry games, you know, the likes of playing Derry, and we had a couple of fierce championship matches in Celtic Park. There was never an easy place to go, you know, and like, people may not stick out in the memories of people, you know. They were hot and heavy games to be involved in. One of the games that still sticks out in memory was that 2006 league final up in Breffni Park against Louth, and I suppose for my first year,
Division 2
league final, I played in the first game, we drew and went to a replay, but in the first game I couldn't even tell you what the attendance was on that day, but to me it seemed like a packed house, and I would say I dealt with the All-Ireland 2012 crowd in Croke Park far better than what I dealt with, you know, the crowd in Breffni Park that day. And I remember even thinking to myself in my head, you know, am I cut out for this at this stage, you know, and I was struggling to kind of deal with the intensity and the pace, and there was a searing heat that day, you know. And in those days, it probably stand you probably later in your career then, you know, when you battle on and kind of come through those days. And I suppose that the Cork All-Ireland semi-final, I think, probably sticks in the memory as well, just for the to-ing and fro-ing and the score-for-score nature of the game, you know. And I don't think anyone could fault us for having an overly defensive game when they look at a game of football that was played like that against Cork in the semi-final.
Yeah, I think a lot of people ignore that one. I know I spoke to a Cork player afterwards, ahead of the All-Ireland, and he was saying that on that particular day that they had planned to keep Michael Murphy and Colin McFadden quiet, and they did reasonably. I think Michael got 2 or 3 points and Colin got 2 or 3, but you know, the scores pop up like Frank Midlin, Anthony Thompson, Mark McHugh, they popped up from everywhere.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. And I suppose we knew that, I suppose like every team going out, they're probably going out to target the main players, and we knew that the boys like Colin and Michael were constantly coming under pressure to be taken out of the game. And I suppose on any given day that could well happen, you know, and it's up to the other people to pop up with scores, you know. And you know, we had some great players at that time, you know, that done great jobs for the team, you know, like Christy Toy and David Walsh and Ryan Bradley, that, you know, that were seen as the workhorses of the team, you know, and done great work that probably may not have been reflected in the scoreboard, but you know, played massive roles as well in those games.
Talk to me about opponents. The opponent that stands out for you, the toughest one, best one.
I suppose now one of the games I made earlier part of the career, we went to Kerry for a league game, for an early league game, and I suppose our fitness level probably weren't at the level required for Division 1. I think we went to Kerry 1 year to the task of Mark and Colin Cooper, and we were under a lot of pressure, to say the least, down there. So it was it was a long 55-60 minutes for me before it was called ashore, so it was, but again, it was probably, it was an experience at that time, so it was, and I suppose it goes to show then when you come so far and you're in the same pitch as Colin Cooper then as an All-Ireland semi-final a couple of years later and getting the better of a Kerry team, you know, which goes to show that, you know, football can change quite quickly if you stick at it.
What was it about him that made him such a difficult opponent?
It was just his movement, really, you know, and I suppose as someone that maybe may not have played too much at cornerback at that stage, you know, it was difficult to keeping tabs on him, and I suppose not only his movement, but he didn't have to move too far, but the ball was pinpointed into the chest, or once the run was made, the ball was almost there, and at times it was there before the run was even made, so it was, and I suppose it was just an experience of the pace of the match, so it was, and everything else that went with it.
Crow Park was special, was it?
That was, yeah, you know, at the early part of my career, it would have been seen as daunting, you know, and you would have got quite nervous even playing in Croke Park, regardless of what the game or the importance of the game. Every time you went to Croke Park, there was something extra special about it, but the more you got used to playing in those big games, you know, it became a great place to play football, so it did, and, you know, those open spaces of Croke Park became your friend rather than worrying about the open spaces of Croke Park, and I suppose that was a testament opposed to the fitness work and the strength and conditioning work that we'd done.
Tell me, when you were growing up as a young fella, was there any player that you modelled yourself on? Or?
Not really, no. I suppose at my era, I suppose when I was growing up as a teenager, coming up through the ranks, I suppose at that time, I suppose the 92 team was probably always in the back of your head, and how they I suppose showed the way for a lot of the footballers. But the next Damien Diver then as a half-back and things like that, and, you know, it was honoured to share the same dressing room then with the likes of those players, and Adrian Sweeney, the likes of Brendan Devaney, the earlier part of the year, you know, and those were players, I suppose, you went in the early noughties, and, you know, to watch them play in those great qualifier runs in 2002, 2003, and then, you know, to be sitting in the dressing room beside them in 2006, 2007, you know, it was a fantastic experience for a young fella, you know, at that time.
Yeah, and of course they missed out on the great success. They were just there a couple of years too early.
Yeah, that's what I said. As I said, I spoke to Declan Bonner, you know, and I said I can't hold any grudges. Anyway, I can walk away quite happy, you know, for there's probably other players in the county that have wore the county jersey for maybe longer and maybe put in the same effort, if not more effort, and maybe haven't had the same rewards as myself. So while retiring today, you know, I'm acutely aware that, you know, I'd be very grateful for what I've been given while wearing the Donegal jersey.
Tell me, what did Declan say when you rang him and told him?
Look, it wasn't a phone call out of the blue, you know. We'd met up a good few times over this past couple of weeks, you know, and discussed different things, and I suppose he probably knew that, you know, even from last year too, I told him I would probably give it one last go and see where it took me, and I suppose injuries probably weren't kind to me this year, so I would say he had a little inkling that it may be coming his way, you know. But as I say, I thanked him, you know, for getting me back on board even 2 years ago, and for getting me involved again, you know. For it was probably a time where I came closest to probably hanging up the boots at that stage, you know. But this past 2 years have been fantastic, and he's added a little bit of freshness to it, and changed up the backroom team, and changed up maybe the approach to the training side of things and the meeting side of things. And I suppose it's not easy to get that freshness, I suppose, when you've been involved for maybe as long as I have, but it's one thing that Declan done very well, and I suppose I'll be very grateful for that.
Tell me, how's been the reaction since the announcement was made just the morning?
I suppose it's been overwhelming, you know, to say the least, and, you know, loads of messages coming from your own club players and from your own club members, you know, and I suppose getting the sense of what actually it meant, you know. For me, I was playing for Donegal and was part of the Donegal team, but I think there's a wider thing out there, you know, when you do play for Donegal, and to get those messages, especially from your local people, from the people of Glenfinn, and telling you how proud they were as a Glenfinn person to watch me play for Donegal, you know, it puts it into perspective of what a privileged position that Donegal players are currently in, and it's something that, I suppose, when you're playing, you may not be as aware of it, and but it's always a great sense of, you get a great sense of pride for donning that Donegal jersey, and, you know, you're representing your family and your friends. But it's you know, this past 24 hours has probably really hit home that what a privileged position I've been in this past 14 years.
And tell me, just before we let you go, in terms of other players from other counties, would you have made friendships with other players, or is that something that you don't get a chance to do as much as you maybe like?
No, I suppose when you're playing, you probably, I don't know, maybe I'm different. I probably always have that competitive edge, you know, and I suppose you bumped into different players over the years that may have stopped playing, you know, and only then you'd probably maybe have a conversation with them, you know, and I suppose when you do chat to other county players, you know, you get to realise that there's not much difference between players apart from the jersey they're wearing on any given Sunday, you know. But I would have to say, no, I wouldn't have struck up that many friendships with opposition players. But perhaps now that, I suppose, when their playing days are over and we're not crossing paths, those friendships may build, because we've had some great rivalries with players over the years.
Obviously, Tyrone, Armagh, Dublin, obviously, as well. Kerry,
all the big teams. There's been a couple of good battles, you know, with all counties, Tyrone especially, you know, every day you play them. You know, you're always getting.
And you have family ties in Tyrone, have you?
I do, yeah. I have a few cousins up there in Castledergan, a High Iron direction, and they keep me well updated, and, you know, they're always in with the good luck messages before games, and they may not always come with the same vigour against Tyrone, but they're still always there supporting you, you know, and it's great to have.
Yeah, and tell me, what now, Frank? What's next? You're going to play, obviously, on with Glenn Finn for a while more, I hope.
Oh, yeah, that's it, I suppose. That's the one thing that you miss out on, you know, but I suppose since 2006, I probably haven't had a full season, as you would put it, training with my club, you know, and it's one thing that I'm definitely looking forward to, getting onto the training pitch and training for a full year with the rest of the Glenn Finn players, and I suppose I'm blessed to go back to a club, you know, and it's always been easy going back after Donegal's championships come to an end. You know, you were always just went back as if you were never away, and I suppose that's testament to the players and to the managers that have been in charge of Glenfinn. And I suppose I'm lucky too, at a time when maybe while I'm coming to the end of my career and into county career, you know, at a time when Glenfinn have a good group of young players coming through there, so it's something that we have to build on, and certainly we'll be trying to make use of it for the next couple of years.
Coaching down the road, I know you managed the ladies team a few years ago.
Ah, yeah, it's something. Look, I suppose, you know, GAA is probably always going to be a big part of my life and part of my family's life. And while you might not be donning the Donegal jersey anymore, you'll still be probably getting involved more with the club and spending more time watching club games and getting involved with the coaching side of things at the club, you know. And it's something that I do have an interest in, and probably something I might pursue further in the coming years.
Frank, look at the old clock on the wall is catching up with us. It's great to talk to you. Look at. From me personally, I want to thank you for your generosity, your kindness, your humility, and many great days following you, and always very proud of you. And you were always a gentleman to deal with, and I know I speak for everybody in the media and supporters. You were the darling of the supporters, and they will certainly miss you, and we wish you very well.
Yeah, thanks for much. I would just like to say a huge thank you to the supporters, because I have to say I never had a minute's bother with any of the supporters, and regardless of success on the field, those were always greatly accepted and appreciated throughout the county, you know. I suppose thanks as well to the gang at home there, my wife Diane and three children, Harry, Gracie and Lucas, you know, they've made many sacrifices over the years, and I suppose they've had a great time, and it'll be a huge change for our family, so it will, but it's one now that we'll enjoy going supporting the Donegal teams in the coming years together as a family.
Frank, good luck and enjoy.
Thanks very much. Thank